Now, in terms of weaknesses, of course, there were many. The biggest weakness was probably the inability to fully reunify the country outside Manchuria. It would have taken civil war up to a point that Chiang Kai-shek, I think, was eager to avoid because he was always conscious of the threat from Japan. He did try to concentrate on wiping out the Chinese Communist Party or the remains of it, but he probably acted too late and in a fashion that was not consorted enough to achieve that until it became clear that he had to try to unify all forces in the country in order to fight against an imminent war with Japan. So that failure of going further in terms of full unification is often something that is held up, and I think with some right. Corruption was a major problem, not necessarily more than it has been at other times in China's 20th century, but it was something that did alienate the significant part of the population, and particularly the middle class, from Chiang Kai-shek's regime. It was a political problem, I would argue, more than an economic or financial problem. The biggest difficulty in terms of politics, in my view, was the unwillingness, the inability to move towards a more representative political system. And this is where Chiang Kai-shek, in my view, gets a fairly low score. He came quite early under the influence of the right-wing authoritarian trends that you could see developing in Europe, both on the fascist side and on the communist side of the equation of Germany and the Soviet Union, believing that this was the kind of government that China needed as well in order to be better prepared to fight for China's national interest. What he then in reality achieved was a form of dictatorship that was not a very effective dictatorship. And clearly this was a weakness, maybe first and foremost, when you get into the period after 1937, when you get into the period of the war with Japan, where clearly there wasn't enough cohesion in order to get the kind of support for Chiang Kai-shek's regime that he expected. And as I have argued myself earlier on, this then became a very significant part of the regime's undoing. The double whammy, as it were, of the exhaustion from the war against Japan and the inability to find allies within Chinese society was what really undid the regime after 1945, 1946.